listening to WCNO Palm City.
And welcome back. If you're just now joining us, Rhett Palmer continues his interview with Michael Battenberg.
And he gives those out at lunch. And I said, if he ever opened up for breakfast, there'd be a line going down the street. But yours are even better than his because you have actually, like when you get the apple, it has real chunks of apple in it, you know?
Appreciate that, Rhett, but we ought to be talking about the important stuff.
Yeah, I know. Like, what am I having for lunch? Only kidding. Michael, let's put Michael back on. Hi, Michael.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, good, good. Well, I'm very excited about what you're doing. I know you're doing this altruistically. I don't have the skill of organization that you have. And thank God there's guys like you because I'd be a lot further along in life. Because you can have emotion, you can have desire, but if you're going to sell cars, you need an automobile association, you know, dealership to do that. If you're going to be a plumber, you need to have an organization to hire plumbers and get them out there. You know, you can have a desire, but without the organizational skills, and you know, so I admire that exceedingly. That I'm perplexed because now you've got this retreat center. You used to live in Tampa.
Yep.
You go up here, you buy a bunch of land. How much land do you have up there?
50 acres, but it borders 6,000 of the national forest.
Really? That's pretty good. Gary was going to say something?
No, I was just going to say the land's beautiful. You get up here, you need to go up and see it, right?
Well, I want to come up. How far is it from where you are?
Oh, 10 miles maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all?
Right up in the beautiful views. I mean, what he's done up there is phenomenal.
So let me ask Michael this. Michael, how did you first get a group? Okay, you got this idea that you want to have, you want to give back to people. So where's the genesis of this? How did these people from a prison get in touch with you and say, hi, we hear you have some land and you got a couple of buildings. We'd like to bring 20 guys up for the weekend. How does this whole thing work?
Well, a lot of our guests all come, you know, organically from, you know, relationships that I've had and that I foster and you know, and going out and meeting with different organizations, churches, groups, and so forth, making them aware that, you know, we have these resources to offer them. So a lot of it is word of mouth. You know, we don't look to boil the ocean. I mean, 20 retreats for us a year is our target because, you know, what we do is very intentional and very focused. You know, we believe that an inch wide and a mile deep is much better than, you know, big, you know, groups with 50, 100 or so people that turns into an event. You know, we want people to come and have an experience where they're inspired and leave changed.
Now, how many rooms do you have to sleep in there?
So depending on which facility you're talking about, in Tennessee, so our lodge has 5 rooms, and right now it's set up with, 14 beds, because we've got 15 coming in and one.
Now, all in the same room?
No. That's in a lodge, of five-bedroom lodge.
Now, is that your lodge?
That's our lodge, yeah. And then we have a mountain cabin that has 4 queen beds, and we've got a tree house that has sleeps 4, and then we've got a
tree house.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't know if it's you or my guys, but half of your screen, or like a third of your screen, has turned totally black. Do you know what is that? Did Michael do that, or what's going on there?
It's the way his camera is situated, so the only way for me to have all of his face on there without cutting you off is to move him over to the left.
Oh, okay, good. Well, yeah. Well, you're a handsome guy, so we're happy with just getting 2/3 of you. So anyway, well, I find this very exciting because, I know you're going to like this. You're going to like this, Michael. God gave me sort of a revelation. There was somebody famous. It was... Who's the left wing guy up in Burlington, Vermont? There, he ran for the presidency. He's extremely liberal.
Oh, Bernie?
Yeah, Bernie. So I'm up in Vermont. I like to go up to Vermont in the summers, and it was the end of a parade, and this young man came running over towards him with his arm extended to shake Bernie's hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so Bernie extended his arm, and he leaned, and the young man shook his hand, but Bernie looked to the left and all around because he was looking to see if there's somebody more important that he needed to deal with, instead of giving the attention to this guy. And at that moment, my spirit really sank because I went, well, because I remember going to a really big event with a bunch of rich people once, and I remember this lady coming up to me who listened to my show and stuff, and she said, oh, hi, Rhett, and she's looking over my shoulder to see who else is there.
Right.
Very disconcerting. And so what I've realized is I was disappointed, and sort of the Lord used that situation to say, you know what? There's no such thing, Michael, as 1 million. There's only 1 million ones. And if you remember in the Bible, he told David not to count the horses.
Sure.
And so the great thing about God is look at he picks Gideon. This guy's a little diminutive guy, and he says, oh, great, mighty, he's hiding, actually. They find him down in the basement somewhere. The angel goes, mighty man of valor. And Gideon goes, you talking to me? But God likes to do that, you know? And it's just an amazing thing. So you're right. It's better to have 10 people together and actually get close enough maybe to what do they say? As iron sharpeneth iron, so a friend's countenance sharpeneth a friend's countenance.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Intimacy, authenticity, transparency is what takes place when you have a group that's small. And hey, I'm not, trying to figure something out that hasn't already been established. I mean, Jesus picked 12 for a reason, right? And those 12 broke into groups of three for a reason. I mean, we have to realize that the business side of ministry, which I get it. I mean, there's a point that you have to, pay the bills and so forth. But I think that a lot of organizations get distracted by thinking, oh, I got to go bigger. I got to get more. I got to, and you don't. You just got to go for the one, like you had mentioned before, and let the Holy Spirit and God do the rest. We tend to make it a lot more complicated than it needs to be, and we get into God's way a lot more than we should.
Last I was up, I don't think it was Tennessee. I went somewhere up north, up near you, and there was a Christian film convention or something, right?
Uh-huh.
And this guy had been in, what do you call it, the cartel. He'd been in the cartel.
Okay.
So anyway, he had 5 girlfriends and a wife. He's miserable inside. He's swimming down in Miami, and there's a couple next to him down in Miami. And I don't know why. He must have been terrifyingly unhappy because he says, how are you? I don't know. He came clean with him and said, I'm just a very unhappy man and blah, blah, blah. So they invite him up to their hotel room, and they lead him to Jesus Christ.
Amen. And
he gets born again. So he gives up the 5 girlfriends and goes back to his wife. But he, he ends up writing a book, and they're going to make it into a movie. And I said, I always wanted to ask you guys in the cartel. I said, so let's say you got 5 million bucks in boxes or jars buried out in the back of your backyard. Why not just, you haven't been caught, why not just quit the whole thing, disappear quietly, and take your girlfriends or your wife or whatever and go to Hawaii and just have fun every day, And he says, I said, so why do you keep doing it? He says, you always want
more.
Right, what you just said. And it's really gets in the way of life, because big isn't necessarily better. Thank God for the people, and this because you're in a ministry now of sorts, and sometimes it's just the one-on-one, and giving attention one-on-one can make all the difference in the world.
Absolutely, yeah, and it's something that our society today and in technology is really really making as an obstacle is giving people an opportunity to sit together in one-on-one or small groups and be intentional and be authentic and be transparent and allow us to be able to communicate as we were designed to communicate. This whole virtual world that we live in is a farce, and it is really driving us apart more than it is bringing us together, although that is the the misnomer that we want to promote, that technology gives us, you know, much more access for connectivity. I believe it doesn't. I think that technology really should be used for connection, but not for communication, right? I mean, if communication requires any level of emotion, then, you know, you deserve to give that person an opportunity to see you and to respond and to be able to engage at a personal level.
You know, I'm working on a book, and I'd like to, if I come up there and hang out with you a little bit and get to see your place and we talk, I'd like to get your opinion on this. But, you know, everybody wants power. Well, I've got a friend who's a congressman, so I have a little bit of power. Or I know the president. I can call the Oval Office. I've got power. Or I've got a degree that calls me doctor. I've got power. Or I've got $10 million in the bank or $100 million. I've got power. Everybody wants power, 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 power. What I'm trying to do is I'm working on a book on dignity, trying to get – I realize that we're all being what's the word? It's like a diluted, because really you have as much power as I have, and I have as much power as you have. And the bum, even the bum on the street has the same amount of power. And that power is this. There was a lady out here a couple of years ago, and I walked by her and smiled. She didn't smile back. Well, that bothered me because I just love people. You know, I've never met a stranger. And I said, you know why, Rhett? She doesn't think she has the worthy, she, like homeless or something. She doesn't have the worthiness within her to smile back, not knowing that I might be a multimillionaire on the way to kill myself. That a smile can make all the difference. My friend David, my lifelong friend, he told me the story this past year up in Albany, New York, in Troy. This guy was on his way to commit suicide, to jump off the Green Island Bridge. Now, when I lived up there, a lawyer up there at 61 years of age, and that used to be old to me, put rocks all in his pockets and jumped off the bridge. It was in the paper, and killed himself. So now here it is, you know, all nearly 40 years later, and David said this guy was on his way to commit suicide. But he says, I tell you what, Lord, I won't commit suicide if one person acknowledges me. Mm-hmm. Now, it's a very populated area, multi-millions. It's connected to the Albany-Troy area, the Tri-City there, you know. So nobody says anything to him on the way to the bridge. He's going to commit suicide. And then up strolls this old man who begins a conversation. And that saves, he doesn't even know it, he saves the man's life.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
Shout unto you.